Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So it's not a sin in your church to have an abortion?
That's the kind of conversation we would have finding out your story, where you're from. God's the judge. People have to live to their own conviction.
The science is clear. The Bible is clear. And if we're honest, our intuitions are clear. We know what we're killing. We're killing a human being.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, isn't this a fine how do you do? This is Wretched Radio. Perhaps your Tishraden have been revolving around the subject of mandated V's. You say, what's with the cryptic language? It sounds awfully covert. You can't even say the whole V word. You're correct. We can't, because we'd be canceled, because that's what China... I'm sorry, we're still in America. Because that's what happens these days when you want your agenda pushed. You do not allow conversation. That's what totalitarianism has always looked like. And yet that is precisely where we are these days on a number of cultural subjects. You can't even express your opinion. So much for freedom of speech. Even so, we are here where we have to be rather covert in our language, because if we say the V word, we could be canceled off of platforms. And yet, we Christians are confronted with a decision. For some, it is harder than others, and yet we are all quite interested in how a Christian should respond if the government or your employer mandates a V. How do we figure out such a complex subject if we do not have a rudder? Getting through these choppy waters will get us way off course. And so we are going to use 7 steps that we outlined in a resource called Wretched Worldview, available at wretched.org, where we tackled 22 subjects, 1 step at a time, to bring clarity. How do I respond? Because I know what my guts tell me. But what does the Bible say to me about this subject? The 7 steps, if you recall, begin with pre-understandings. You have to lose them. Your brain needs to be etch-a-sketched. Now, that is easier for some of us than others, but you need to get rid of whatever it is that you are feeling about the subject of mandated V's. Perhaps you think, this violates my constitutional rights. This violates Nuremberg, the Geneva Convention. Those are pre-understandings that a lot of evangelicals possess. You've got to scratch it for now. We'll come back to them at the very end. But I want to deal with my pre-understandings after I have a biblical understanding. But perhaps you think, my body, my choice. We maybe thought that a phrase like that could work. Apparently, it doesn't apply for both sides at the table. Regarding the V, you might just be thinking this whole thing is a hoax anyway. A mandated V is actually worse than the actual disease. The cure could kill me. Perhaps you're thinking that. For the time being, you're going to have to lose it. Here's another one, I suspect. Out of the tens and tens of people listening to this program, you might possess the pre-understanding that this hasn't been tested, and I don't know the long-term effects. And I am not going to do this if it puts my life and my family's life at risk. That is a subject that is really going to become important, and which, by the way, we are not going to tackle. You're going to have to do your own data research. This exercise is to simply give us a biblical framework for plugging in that information. Finally, you might be thinking, hey, baby stem cells were used in the research, and that violates my Christian conscience. Well, these days, that might not matter, because there are some employers that are saying it doesn't matter about your religion. You're going to take it anyway. Are those your pre-understandings? Can you set them aside for a moment as we dive into explicit Bible verses? Please note, at no point during this diatribe am I going to tell you what I think about the subject. I have my opinion. This is simply an effort to lay everything out. And sometimes this is a struggle for us because we don't like some of the stuff getting laid out. And yet we have to. So please don't hear that I'm leading this one way or another. I'm just setting forth the arguments that are possessed by varying people based on different Bible verses. And so we'll put two of them together that I think are the explicit Bible verses. I have a number of implicit Bible verses that I think inform us on the subject. But when you are trying to figure out an issue, you got to go for the bullseye. What's like? Is there a Bible verse that says a Christian should or shouldn't take a mandated V? If you got that verse, well, that's the best place to start because it's crystal clear. And then you also let the implicit verses give you any nuance to the subject, but you look primarily for the ones that are most pointed. And the only two that I believe fit underneath this category, and if you disagree, by the way, I'd be most grateful if you'd send them to me. I'm more than happy to share them because I know a lot of people are struggling with this subject, especially if they're already being told you've got to do this and they're finding themselves going, but I don't want to. And yet I want to be biblical about this. I'm a Christian after all. Send me those verses, idea@wretched.org. The two that I come up with that are in the bullseye are Romans 13, 1 Peter 2. You've got to admit those verses are really, really clear about doing what we are told to do by the government. Now, we also have informing us Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4, where Peter and John are preaching. They get put in prison. They are told by the authorities, stop preaching. They say, sorry, no can do, because you can't command us to do something sinful. Therefore, we can disobey you and we must obey God. You need to put that into the pot with 1 Peter 2 and Romans 13. That we do what we are commanded to do if it is not sinful. If it is sinful, then you do have permission biblically, by example, in Acts chapter 4, to not do what you are told. But I think we need to really fixate for just a second on the import of 1 Peter 2 and Romans 13. I do not see wiggle room. I do not see room, for lesser magistrates. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not, using liberty as a cloak for vice. But as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. That seems airtight to me because it is, with the only exception, brilliantly, being Acts chapter 4. If it's a command to sin, or it's a command to not do an ordinance of the church, you can disobey. Otherwise, I think you're buttoned down. And there's just no room for wiggling. Now, please note, if you're already concluding, so you're telling me I need to do this? No, I'm not. I'm just laying forth what I think are the explicit Bible verses. Now we're going to take a look at the implicit Bible verses so that we can weigh this out and figure out specifically, is it a sin to take the V? Is it a sin to do that? Because if it's not, well, then you would have to submit to Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2. But because Acts tells us that there can be exceptions to that rule, we need to figure out if it is. And I think that we will begin wrestling with that with the implicit Bible verses. And it focuses quite heavily on two subjects. One would be the human body, and the other would be other people's body. Your body, other people's body. Genesis 1, we are image bearers of God. These bodies that God has given to us is for a reason. Exodus chapter 20, an implicit verse that says, thou shalt not murder, not kill, murder. And so murdering, I think, is something that needs to be considered, because if you believe that this V could cause death, well, then you'd have to say, well, I can't do it, because that would be a violation of this command. And that is why you're going to have to do your own research on this subject. What are genuine risks and what are not? 1 Corinthians 6, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 15, you're going to have a resurrection body. Why am I bringing this up? Because the issue of the human body is important. You can't abuse it. You can't use it wrongly. You can't simply wiggle out from the subject because your body doesn't matter, because the body does. That was the Corinthian mistake, at least in part. The entire Old Testament, and I believe in 1 Peter, men are commanded to protect wife and children. Matthew 12 tells us to love our neighbor. That issue is in view. The mantra these days is, you know, do it for other people. Well, that's a Christian slogan. We do things for other people because we love them and we consider the Good Samaritan, making sure that we take care of people. Those are the implicit Bible verses on the subject. How do you put all of that into a pot, stir it around, and come up with a conclusion? Next on Wretched Radio.
Let me take you to Eastern Europe, where the stories coming out of the Tomorrow Clubs are much better than my accent.
Katya came to the club when she was 14. Her father at the time left their family, and her mother was struggling to raise 5 kids by herself. Katya loved her experience in the Tomorrow Club right away and was overwhelmed by the amount of God's love shown through the leaders. Very soon, she brought 3 of her siblings that later became her helpers. Last year, Katya repented at the local church and was baptized. Now she's a leader in this Tomorrow Club, serving God. And I want to thank the Wretched Radio for your support that made Katya's story possible. May God bless you.
That's our dear brother, Max, leading the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. $30 a month, 30 disciples, your own Tomorrow Club in a small, poor Eastern European village. You can become a Tomorrow Club sponsor, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Hey, it's another day, and it's another Wretched Radio. Hey, thank you for being here today. Listen, did you know that the third leading cause of death among millennials is suicide? That's right, it's true. Millennials are struggling. They're anxious, they're depressed, they're suicidal, and ultimately, they're lost, which is why Road Trip to Truth was created. Millennial John Fabares takes to the road to help tackle some of the issues millennials are struggling with today. Why is there evil in the world? Is Jesus really God? What are the supposed errors in the Bible? And many other questions are asked and answered on Road Trip to Truth. So don't miss out. Get your copy of Season 1 of Road Trip to Truth right now. It's just one more reason to support Wretched. Visit wretched.org/donate to support Wretched, or text the word Wretched to the number 44321. Road Trip to Truth, available right now at roadtriptotruth.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Be careful. Be very, very careful, my cold-hearted conservative friend, because this just might melt your heart. If you are a supporter of preborn.org/wretched, providing ultrasounds, ultrasound machines, and sonograms, careful, this might just melt your heart.
That sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to Mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
You're giving love when you support Preborn, because a mommy sees a baby in the womb courtesy of an ultrasound machine and 80% of the time keeps the baby. $28 an ultrasound, or perhaps you might be of the means to provide an actual ultrasound machine. If you can, oh, they need them, and they'll put them to work, and it'll show some love. Preborn.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. Deuteronomy means second law. As the Israelites prepared to enter the Promised Land after wandering 40 years, God reminds them of how he rescued them from Egypt, what he commands in his law, and the blessings and curses that come with keeping or breaking his law.
God is faithful to provide the inheritance he has promised to his children. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Do I have the definitive word on this subject? Nope. This is Wretched Radio. Whilst I realize that violates talk show host rule number one, that you don't admit you're wrong, that you don't know something, the issue of mandated V's, that's right, mandated V's, because we can't use that word without being canceled. It's a tricky subject, and there's a lot to it, and different Christians have different opinions, and we need something more than our guts to tell us what we are supposed to do if the government or your employer tells you, you must receive this V. Otherwise, you're going to be fired, you won't have access to things, etc. How do we figure it out? Step number one, you lose whatever your pre-understanding is, whatever your gut tells you, just lose it for a moment. Consider the explicit Bible verses. I think the only explicit ones you have are Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2. We submit to the government, period, full stop, end of discussion. Unless, courtesy of Acts, when we see Peter and John arrested for preaching the gospel and being told by the authorities to zip it, and they said, sorry, we have to obey God, we see an exception to the Romans 13, 1 Peter 2 rule. And that exception is if they tell us to sin, well, then we can't obey them. We obey God. Those are the explicit considerations. The implicit considerations, in my opinion, focus on the body. My body, your body. Your body, other people's bodies. They're important. That's what I get from Genesis 1. We're image bearers of God. God made us different than everybody else. We have a body, and it is important to him. How do I know? Because we're not supposed to murder other bodies. It's a temple. It's going to be a resurrected body, courtesy of 1 Corinthians 15. I need to protect my family's bodies. That's the entire Old Testament. Matthew tells me to, on the other hand, love my neighbor. I also see the story of the Good Samaritan. I do consider other people's well-being. Those are the explicit and implicit Bible verses. But let me take you now to a subject that can be a little bit trickier. And please note, I'm not trying to lead you anywhere, which is why, again, if you know a Bible verse that applies to this, believe me, I'm all email. Send one to idea@wretched.org, and I will happily share it. But we need to consider how we figure this out biblically and through the lens of the gospel. If the entire universe revolves around that subject, then we need to apply that subject to my situation. So here's how I did it. Your mileage may vary. The body is important. We've learned that, but from the other verses, but also from the gospel. Jesus had a body and died for our bodies, that we might have a resurrected eternal body. So bodies are not insignificant. I can't just trash them or do things that are reckless with them. They have high value. I also learned from the gospel that death is inevitable. I'm not going to fear death. Shouldn't anyway. We don't have it. The world has it. That is obvious these days, isn't it? Hence the panic. They're terrified of death. If you've been wondering what's with all this stuff that's going on, it's part of it. There's more, but part of it is there's a tremendous fear of death right now in our culture. When you're post-Christian, you can expect that because only Christians can have confidence to stare into the jaws of death and not be terrified. Death is inevitable, the gospel tells me. But the gospel also tells me God loves me and he loves the world. God loves the world, and so should I. I should be considerate with what I do with my body. I don't drive recklessly because I don't want myself and other people to be hurt. That is all a part of loving neighbor, but that's also informed by the gospel. Let's move into church history. What has the church said on this subject? Well, this would be a good place for you to go study Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2 again. What has been the church view on the subject of submitting to government? I lay that out in a video that is actually, strangely enough, still available, at least on the YouTube machine. Should a Christian take the CV? Question mark. Yep, we've come to this. I've got to abbreviate and not say the word. You can watch that presentation and noodle through it. It's going to be very important in the days ahead that we understand what the role of government is in our life and how we're supposed to respond to it when it makes really personal, bad decisions. The church historically has basically said, submit to the government, just do what you're told. Now, there are some folks these days that believe in something called the lesser magistrates, that you as a lesser magistrate, you are responsible for making sure the upper magistrates behave well. If they don't, you can deal with them in whatever way you see fit. I do not adhere to that position. I believe that if the government tells me to put pinwheels on the side of my head every time that I go to Publix, I'm going to put pinwheels on the side of my head. Could look like a lot of pastors these days. The point is, I think we submit to our government. But but church history tells us more, and this goes back to the subject that I think is so important, and that is the subject of the body. What is the church taught about the body? We are embodied souls. John Cooper, a theologian, calls it holistic dualism. We aren't either or. We're not spirit or a body. We're both things. It's a substance dualism. We have an immaterial soul, but a material body. One functionality, but two essentially. There's one of us functionally, but two of us essentially. Because your essential makeup, your essential substance is body and soul. Two, that function as one. I keep bringing this up because I need to consider my body. If I do something to my body that's risky, that's a bad thing. We need to determine if this particular mandated V thing is a crossing the line into sin thing. And yet we move on to our testimony. How does my testimony play into this? I want to be thinking on a higher level. This is a big deal. This is an unprecedented situation. And yet, there have been others historically, and God continues to build his church. That's my primary interest. In other words, I want souls saved. More than anything, you and I should be like the Apostle Paul. I'd rather go to hell than see my fellow citizens, my fellow Jews, not respond to the gospel. That should be our feeling too. And so the testimony needs to be considered in that if I make the decision to do this or not to do this, it plays on my testimony if people, of course, find out. So the question is, does this enhance or detract from my testimony? My testimony also, however, tells me that I will fear no evil. I'm not going to be scared of death. And I can show that. You say those two things seem to be in conflict. No, those two things are just there. And you need to weigh them. That is the point of this exercise, which brings us to, finally, our objections. You may recall these were our pre-understandings, the things that we had to set aside in light of all that we've learned. Let's work through them, shall we? This violates my constitutional rights. It violates Nuremberg, Geneva. That is correct. I would say this, as an American, those issues are important. From a Christian processing, I'm not sure that they actually are a part of my theological pondering. I think it's a no-brainer as an American, isn't it? And that annoys all of us. But theologically, I'm not sure where that plays in. I can't trump what the Bible says because of a constitutional right. The Bible's above the Constitution. The Bible is above everything. I follow it. My body, my choice. Yeah, that's got some import to it because it is your body and you're responsible for it and you need to weigh that. This whole thing is a hoax. You're going to have to figure that out and weigh that. The cure is more dangerous than the disease. I'm telling you, this is where you need to do earnest homework and please check out all sources. Don't go to the pool that you always swim in. check out what other people have to say about it. Look at it as objectively as you possibly can, because I think this whole thing is going to come down to whether you think this thing is dangerous for your body or not, which is another pre-understanding slash objection. The V, more dangerous than the disease. The V hasn't been tested, so we don't know the long-term effects. You're right. And that is valid. You need to weigh how much that is going to put onto the scale that says, therefore, I can't do something to my body that might endanger it. If that's valid, you might have a valid reason to say no can do, but you've got to do the work on that. Same thing with baby stem cells used to make these things. You're going to have to work through the philosophical issue. You're going to have to work through the science issue. Apply all of these verses and submit yourself, your thinking, your guts to the Bible so that you can make a decision about whether or not to take a mandated V. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. An American pastor has reportedly pledged $50,000 to help rebuild an orphanage that had been burned to the ground last Monday by Fulani militants in Nigeria. The pastor of New York-based Infinity Bible Church, William Devlin, has pledged to donate the money for the orphanage that housed 150 children. The orphanage took to its shelter children who had lost their parents due to previous attacks of Fulani herdsmen and the Boko Haram. And now Fulani herdsmen burned the orphanage to the ground. Reports indicate that all 147 children housed at the orphanage are all okay, but do need emergency funding to help rebuild the orphanage. Shocking video you can find on the internet shows Antifa members assaulting a group of Christians, including children, who were gathering in Portland, Oregon Saturday for a scheduled prayer event. The Canadian pastor who organized the event made the announcement of the event last month, which did give Antifa members plenty of time to plan this attack. A woman attending the event described the group as ruthless as they threw flash bombs at everybody, macing everybody, including children as young as 4 months old. We need to remember to pray not only for the group that was attacked, but also for these Antifa members to hear and heed the warning of the gospel. One of the largest public school districts in the state of Tennessee has received a $1.8 million gift this month from a nonprofit organization as reimbursement for teaching Bible history to more than 4,500 students for last school year. The monetary gift came from Bible in the Schools to Hamilton County Schools in Chattanooga as part of a unique partnership that allows the district to teach viewpoint-neutral Bible courses, which examine scripture from a historical, non-sectarian perspective. Although the program likely will stir controversy in certain parts of the U.S., it has a long history in Hamilton County. The partnership between Bible in the Schools and the county began in 1922. More than 4,600 students in 29 public schools took a Bible elective course during the previous academic year. It was a record enrollment for the courses. An evangelist and missionary was recently arrested in London for teaching that homosexuality is a sin. An interview with evangelist Ryan Chiovo, the one arrested on July 22nd, was recently published, in which he said, quote, "I was preaching the gospel on the streets, as I frequently do, but it was about a 30-minute message. At one point, I talked about the issue of homosexuality and transgenderism and said that homosexuality is a sin." He said his speech enraged one lady whom he assumed could be a lesbian. Soon after, the police came and Chiovo was arrested and put in a cell for 10 hours and given a mental health evaluation by National Health Services before being released in the middle of the night. According to the Street Preacher, anybody who mentions such a phrase in a negative way will be charged with a hate crime in the UK, though it is not a crime to say homosexuality is a sin in public. Chiovo says that is protected speech in the UK, though it is not being protected these days. That's apparent. Well, Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
The fruit of the Spirit is evidence that God is working in us. Every believer will evidence this fruit. But it is important to remember that bearing fruit is a consequence of salvation, not a requirement for salvation. God is working in us and through us, and He is the source of this fruit, not us. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Got questions? Send them to Jimmy. This is Wretched Radio, the subject of mandated V's. He said, covertly to keep from being canceled on some platforms that don't particularly care for a free exchange of ideas. Well, we Christians should huddle together and ask the question, how do I respond if the government or if my business, my employer insists that I get a mandated, Todd, I think that was redundant, V. How do you noodle through it? How do you figure it out? It ain't easy. Tried to set forth 7 steps in order to do that the best way that we can. And in my opinion, it just keeps coming down to an individual's understanding of what this thing is. I've noodled this. I've talked to other brothers about it. And this, for me, continues to be the persistent, the only way that I can see that a Christian can say, nope, not going to do it because it's dangerous to my body or to the bodies of my family. You have to be able to, with a clear conscience, say this is an imminent danger. Having said that, we also understand as Christians, there are risks in life. You go outside of your house, you stay in here, you wake up, you lip, you breathe, there's a risk. Now, does that mean that we can be carefree and that we can be reckless? Absolutely not. So which is it, you wonder? Well, that's up to you. You've got to figure this out. Because if I told you what I thought about it, then I would be trying to impose my conscience on your conscience. And that's unconscionable. That just, I shouldn't do that. And I'm trying not to do that. I'm simply trying to put out all the weights. When you measure, before we had electronic scales or even the mechanical ones, you had the weight system balanced on both sides. And you would put a weight on each side to know how much stuff you should give to the person that's buying from you. What does this thing weigh? That's the question. What does it weigh? What do these things weigh? What does my body weigh? Well, I mean, you know, besides what you see on the scale, the point is protecting myself versus protecting the bodies of others. And I know what you're thinking. You're saying, but I don't think that this is an issue. I think this is overblown and the whole distancing thing is not necessary. You've got to be firmly convinced of that. And I would also say this, though, I keep coming back to, is it a risk for your body? Because I would say this, under normal circumstances, something else, let's try to remove it from this realm for a moment. If there were something else the government asked me to do, would I be willing to do it even though I don't like it? Because it protects other people. And the truth of the matter is, that happens all the time. Every time you hit a stop sign. You're in a hurry, you'd like to get someplace, the stop sign says, nope, you've got to wait. Why? It's for the safety of yourself and for the safety of others. So we do these things. We do things the government tells us to do for the good of other people. Now, that's a Christian value, but that aside, we should be willing to look at something and say, all right, if it is indeed not dangerous, and if indeed it does protect other people, I'm not sure the Bible gives wiggle room for getting out of it, and I'm not even going to take a breath here because you're going to say, well, then you're telling me to take the thing. No, I'm not. I'm telling you, you need to figure out what the thing is. What is it? That means if you have not done some earnest research on this, I don't think that any of us are ready to make a decision on it. Now, I am not, I believe me, if you're thinking that you're catching me saying something that goes, aha, that's my side. Well, yeah, you're going to hear that. But then somebody's going to hear, aha, that's their side. Because I'm just trying to lay the thing out for us right now. To weigh it and to figure it out. So that I don't get annoyed with other Christians who make a different decision on the subject. Because you'd have to argue, I think, that this is probably ultimately going to be adiaphora. This is going to be different decisions for different Christians. But let's just say the government, your boss, said you got to do this and it was reasonably proven it's not dangerous. It can't risk your body. We know any long-term effects, if there are any at all. And when we believe that this is something that could help others, I don't know what verse would make us exempt. On the other hand, there is research out there that would suggest, indeed, there are some risks to this thing. All kinds of things are being reported. What website are you checking out? Check them all out. Now, this one is going to make just about everybody squirm. The risks currently, as we understand them, are need to be weighed on two levels. First is the immediate, the imminent threat of death. And the second level would be long-term effects, because we don't know what they are, because the thing hasn't been around long enough, because approval typically takes, my understanding is, at least 5 years. Clearly, that hasn't happened. So if the imminent threat is indeed imminent, I believe that as a Christian, you could say, because of the value of body, thou shalt not murder, I wouldn't do something risky to somebody else's body, then I shouldn't do it to mine either, or to my family's bodies. If you take a look, though, at the current statistics of death, it's quite low. Now, I know, it's being reported that there are thousands. I totally understand that. But that it's a percentage-wise, I think, even if you take the higher number that some whistleblowers are using from the CDC, that the statistic is something like 48 or 50,000. Others are saying, no, about 4,000 to 5,000. Okay. We got to figure out which it is as best we can, and then consider, therefore, how much is that of a risk to me? Because if it's a risk, I think biblically you have an exemption. If it's not that much of a risk, then you could say, for the sake of others, I'm going to do it, which of course brings you back to, is this really good for others? Does this thing even work? What is the efficacy of this thing? It's debatable, you think. I got it. And that's why so much of this comes down to what you conclude based on the research that you are responsible for doing. You're going to have to Google it, dig. Have some conversations about it with other Christians. Just make sure you check out all sources. Now, having said that, if you conclude, look, it's a risk, and I wouldn't play Russian roulette if those were my odds. That would be wrong. Fair enough. The long-term issue, what are the potential effects of this? It depends on who you read. If you listen to one news feed, no worries, nothing to see here. Just move on. Listen, you get other news feeds and they're telling you, oh, no, there's all kinds of issues here. You've got to weigh them. You've got to do that work. Because I think if I'm even warm to framing this, it seems to me the principle in this situation should be we should submit to the government. We should love our neighbors and do what is best for them, as long as it's not a sin, specifically murder, or playing loose with my body, which is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is going to be a resurrected body, which is a body that Jesus died for. I can't do that. I think that's the principle. The whole thing, it was a comma in between those two thoughts, not a period in another sentence. That I think that's the principle. So this keeps coming back to, what do you think of the whole shebang? Are you convinced in your own conscience that you have this straight? Then you need to make a decision. And it may be that you do something that other people don't really appreciate. It may be that you lose your job or privileges. And that is why I think every man, every woman should be persuaded in their own mind on this subject. It's not up to me to do it. It's not up to anybody to do that. Now, you can work through it with your church. Certainly, I think you should. And with your elders. I just think, though, that because of what this thing is and so much of the nebulous nature of it, that I think it comes down to an individual decision. And I don't think it would be wise of a church to say, here's the church position. This is what you've got to do. Don't take it. Take it. Personally, I think that would be stepping too far into a territory that, while most certainly is theological, that while most certainly has sin components to it, it would not be one where a law should be made and there should be room for different Christians to come up with different responses. Jimmy?
Yes.
Any comments or?
Oh, I got a lot of them.
All righty then. We're going to hear those because I would love to hear your feedback too. And if you send me a bunch of stuff that causes me to go, whoa, 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 we got to add stuff or I'm going to backpedal, I will happily do that. Send it to idea@wretched.org. Jimmy will represent you next.
No.
Don't ponder that for long. On Wretched Radio. Brilliant. This idea is brilliant. The Masters Academy International, a ministry affiliated with John MacArthur's Master Seminary, where they teach men to rightly divide and preach the word of truth. Here's their idea. Let's have Master Seminary graduates overseas in 17 foreign countries bring in local pastors and teach them to rightly divide the word of truth. Hence, the Masters Academy International. Consider the impact on these nations. Pastors learning how to preach rightly go back to their congregations and feed the sheep well. What an amazing investment we could make. Would you please consider doing that? TMAI.org/wretched. 17 countries. Pick the one you love and support it. TMAI.org/wretched.
Well, it seems like everywhere you look, you're finding or not finding what you're looking for. There are shortages on just about everything you can possibly imagine. Obviously, we're not immune and we're not able to predict how that might affect the Wretched store down the road. But what we can point out is that it will not affect any of our digital downloads. This weekend, Friday through Sunday, the 13th through the 15th, however you want to say it, every digital download, excluding Road Trip to Truth and Wretched Worldview, will be 50% off. Okay, so then it wouldn't be every digital download, then would it? Most digital downloads, that sounds better. Almost every digital download, however you think it should be termed, you get the point. They will be 50% off this weekend only, Friday through Sunday at the Wretched store at wretched.org. That's wretched.org.
Typical radio commercials will have one big shebang, the opening line. Do we have your attention now? This particular commercial has eight. Have we got your attention now? MediShare, affordable biblical health sharing, will save the average family $500 per month. Second, MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate compared to typical health insurance. Double, that's times two if you weren't homeschooled. A massive network of providers to choose from. MediShare is the most trusted name in healthcare sharing. They've been around for 25 years. $4 billion in healthcare bills have been shared. If you call them now, you will save on the joining fee. They're going to erase it. That's another $170. This is a limited time offer, which means make it snappy. Call 1-844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE. Did I mention 844-34-BIBLE to get your MediShare quote in under 2 minutes?
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called a fragrant offering. In the Old Testament, God required burnt offerings of meat and incense as a pleasing aroma. These sacrifices foreshadowed Jesus, the perfect offering that takes away the sins of the world.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, how you doing? Great program.
I really liked it.
Well, actually, I was just wondering.
You be the host.
Hello.
This is Wretched Radio. Hello. It almost felt rude not to greet her back. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy is now going to play host, representing you, the tens and tens of people listening to Wretched Radio, because, Jimmy, I just laid forth what I believe is a principle gleaned from as many Bible verses as I could think of that I think should guide a person through. So I'm just going to summarize that.
Okay.
And then you launch into whatever you think is a deficiency, a fallacy, or I didn't cover something. All right.
Okay.
I believe that Christians are mandated, commanded to submit to government and do what we are told, unless you believe that doing so would be a sin. And therefore, you must conclude, if you believe that the mandated V could kill you, could kill your family, or if not taking it, could kill others. And therefore, you need to do the research on this subject from a variety of sources to conclude, would taking it or not taking it be a sin? So, Jimmy, there's my framework for it. What am I biffing here?
Well, I don't think you're biffing anything. I would like some more clarification on the argument that I see that I think needs to be addressed a little bit more, because individual decision is what I'm hearing from what you framed out here. And I agree with that. But what I'm seeing is that someone needs to make this decision with others in mind,
mm-hmm.
over themselves. The selfishness thing is used.
Yes,
and
right.
So I think there is a deficiency there.
Okay,
not in your argument.
No, I got it. No. In fact, no. Let me just clarify how I see the point that you're making. I should be thinking more about others than myself. See, the world has hijacked the idea that we should be thoughtful and considerate of other people when it comes to this issue of transmitting something viral. I get that. And we should be the ones who say, yeah, I understand it, because you took it from us. We're the ones who esteem others as better than self. We're the one who loves neighbor. We see the Good Samaritan story. So I am going to put other people's issues ahead of mine. Having said that, I still can't murder. I still can't do something that is harmful to my body. And okay, so now let's just, so which one is it? It could be better for others' bodies. What about my body? We need to work out in concentric circles. Your primary concern, frankly, is self. You are primary. Who is more responsible for what happens to your body than you? Answer, nobody. And so you need to do what you think is right for your body, and then your family's body, then your neighbor's body. But my desire all along should be, I want their body to be healthy and flourish. But you clearly, if you believe that doing this mandated V is going to cause you to potentially die, you think that that is a genuine risk. I would not say imminent risk. I wouldn't say low risk. You got to figure out what the risk is yourself. And if it means that taking it is murdering your body or abusing your temple, because the long-term effects are not known, you make that decision for you and your family first. If it's in contradiction with neighbor. If not, and now here's where we've got to submit to Bible. If not, if those concerns are genuinely not valid, and I know it's tough to figure that out these days, different voices chirping, different statistics, different viewpoints, I get it. But if it is not a risk to your life or to the life of your family, I think that we need to put other people's health. Now, as stated before, I also get, you believe this thing isn't going to do any good for anybody. In fact, perhaps you've seen a statistic that indicates it actually could cause it. Okay. Which is it? And I think that's up to you to figure out. It's going to be up to you. Jimmy, have you seen acrimony on this subject on social media?
Yes.
Is there like gunfights over doing it or not doing it?
Yes.
Okay. Are any of the arguments that are being forwarded by either side were they not addressed in how I put the framework via seven steps?
I do believe how you frame this should answer any questions anybody should have.
Okay. Because one thing that I would say is, oh, acrimony. Is there any subject these days that is less acidic than this? Actually, CRT is right up there with this subject. There's a lot going on in our world. And over this particular issue, going to war with other believers, Jimmy, I also went out onto a bit of a limb to suggest that because of the complex nature of this, because of smart people on both sides of the issue looking at the medical research that is at least available, understanding virology, that I don't think a church should be mandating one way or another.
Agree.
You okay with that?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Let's dig a little deeper. What, however, if your church says, you know what, if you have, you can come in here, but if you haven't, you go over there. And you're segregated.
Mm.
What if they do that? I'd have to admit, as long as you can't like pick up what they're laying down by choosing a side, if they are genuinely stating in Christian love, we've got different people with different views on this whole thing. There's so many questions about it that we're trying to accommodate this for the sake of Christian love. Now, I understand the implication for ecclesiology, but in this context, I could understand a church lovingly, potentially, maybe doing such a thing. And I don't think that if they did, that wouldn't give me cause to leave the place. You're going to a Bible teaching church. Do not leave over this subject. Please don't. There's a really decent chance you're on the same page with your pastor on the subject. Because if you've been going to that church, you should be of like minds. Even so, you might have been shocked to discover. And your pastor's got different considerations, weighing different issues. He has souls in the balance that he's pondering. Maybe comes up with a different decision. Please don't split on this. Nah. And someday, if it turns out that you are right in your view and your pastor was wrong, then you get to grow in the fruit of self-control and not remind him about his bad decision.
I told you so.
Yeah, I told you so. This is tricky business. And there's another whole class and category here that we didn't discuss in this particular presentation. But we did in a different, I believe it was from TV that we did this on Wretched TV, where we discussed how Mr. Smith and Mrs. Smith could see things differently. That she has a background in science. He doesn't. She's a new convert. He's been of the faith for 20 years. She has issues that are potential comorbidities. He doesn't. He has been taking his vitamin D and zinc. Always a good idea these days. She hasn't. And so they're just going to weigh all of this so differently. And we need to leave room for that with one another. It seems that lately the devil, if he is using any particular modus operandi, his particular assault weapon these days is division. Oh, wow, are we tempted to divide? And he is seriously winning right now in that regard. Regarding the CRT business, we're seeing major divide. With former folks that we co-labored with, there's a division? Now, sometimes, absolutely. But in other times, maybe not so much, because it's not an orthodoxy issue in the bullseye. If it does become that, then you got a different issue. But regarding this, the pandemic, the COVID business, the V's, we should be showing the world what it actually looks like to disagree with somebody and do it agreeably to do it with such a way that the world goes, so wait a second, you're hanging out with a bunch of people, you got a completely different opinion, huh? And yet you seem to be really nice to one another. Bingo. Because don't forget, in the context of 1 Peter 2 and submitting to government because it's for the sake of the gospel, so too is how we respond to this. Souls are really in the balance. This is a big deal. So let's do it biblically. Let's do it graciously. Let's do it even convictionally. But let us do it in Christian love. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.